Welcome to The Beach is Just the Beginning, the official podcast of the Antigua and Barbuda Tourism Authority. Join travel author Peter Moore as he discovers the people and places that make Antigua and Barbuda the must-visit destination of the Caribbean. The beach is just the beginning.
Hi, I'm Peter Moore. Welcome to the sailing episode. This month sees the return of Sailing Week, the biggest event on Antigua and Barbuda's sailing and social calendar. Sailors from all over the world descend on Falmouth Harbour and English Harbour to race, party, and then race some more. Speak to any sailor anywhere in the world, Sailing Week is top of their bucket list. Of course, sailing in Antigua and Barbuda isn't confined just to Sailing Week. World-class regattas are held throughout the year. And for those of us who aren't sailors, Antigua and Barbuda's magical waters and perfect weather make them ideal for pleasure sailing as well. In this episode, Devon Joseph from the Antigua Yacht Club Marina and Resort gives us a fantastic overview of sailing in Antigua and Barbuda. Sarah Sebastian from Nicholson's Yacht Charters and Services explains why chartering a yacht is the ideal way to explore the islands. And Pierre Baptiste from Tropical Adventures reveals why a sunset cruise is the perfect way to dip your toes into the waters of sailing, so to speak. We visit young Antiguan sailor Jem C at the National Sailing Academy to learn how they are teaching young Antiguans to swim and sail and how they can help you too. Fabio Giorgi from the Inn on English Harbour reveals an intriguing link between Duran Duran and the Azure Waters of Antigua. Lyndon Panfield introduces us to the surprisingly competitive world of model boat racing on Antigua. And we are joined by Antiguan yachting royalty, Mr. Carl James, MBE, President of the Antigua and Barbuda Yachting Association. But first, we start with Sailing Week, with organiser Rana Jamila Lewis giving us the lowdown on what to expect. Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. I'm down on the water at Falmouth Harbour, just in front of the Antigua Yacht Club with Rana Jamila Lewis, who's the marketing and event manager for Sailing Week, to get the lowdown on this amazing event. Hi Rana, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So it's a buzz of activity down here. We've just been spent about 5 minutes trying to find somewhere quiet to talk because we've got guys revarnishing their deck, we've got other guys just chatting, we've got people eating and drinking and just chattering away over at the restaurant there. It's a hub of activity, isn't it?
Yeah, this is definitely the central area for all things yachting on the island.
Yeah.
And also the Yacht Club is the home of Antigua Sailing Week. That's where we base all of our activities from when we have the event.
The harbour now is pretty packed, but I'm guessing it's nothing compared to Sailing Week.
It's equally packed, but it's just the type of boat and the type of guests on board change. Right now we're in the middle of our charter season, so we have a lot of charter yachts docked up here waiting for guests, making repairs, getting supplies. But later down in the months, we get more cruisers, we get more racing yachts that people are actually competitors for events. So now it's like the leisure season and then the action season's coming up. Actually, in a week, we have the Caribbean 600, which leaves from Antigua.
So for the uninitiated, what is Sailing Week?
Antigua Sailing Week is a five-day long regatta, which starts usually first Sunday in May, last Sunday in April. So it consists of a few daily races, followed by afternoon prize givings, followed by entertainment, social activities, concerts, leisure activities, and that sort of thing. It's separated by a lay day. So we race for 3 days, then we have 1 day of rest called a lay day. And that usually turns into a beach party of some sort with more competitions, but a little less serious, a lot lighter hearted.
What is the big event?
It's a combination of all 5 days. The way that it's scored is the cumulative results of every day is tallied, and every day you have a prize giving. So then the final prize giving day is a Friday. That would be like the big event. It's when everybody has done the best they can and it is what it is. We also have a 1 day race which precedes Antigua Sailing Week. It's called the Peters and May Round Antigua Race. And that's a race for some of the larger boats who may not be able to stay all week, but they definitely want to be a part of Antigua Sailing Week. They come, they do a 52 mile loop around the island as fast as they can. They have their very own big prize giving, which also doubles as the opening for the 5 days of Antigua Sailing Week, which follows. schedule. So which day is the best day? Every day is the best day.
Now, as you mentioned, it's not just the sailing. There's also a huge social scene around the whole event as well. What are some of the big events that are part of that?
Historically, we've had a midweek event, which has been the highlight both for the locals and the sailors. It's a huge concert. It's called Reggae in the Park. It's usually the Tuesday night, which is the night before the Lay Day, which is the rest day. As much as we want to entertain our guests, we don't want them to forget why they're here, which is racing. So we schedule that for the day before Lay Day. So if you have too much of a good time, you can rest the next day before we get back racing on the Thursday and the Friday. And Reggae in the Park, traditionally we've had all genres of music, but for the last 10 years we've really solidified the Reggae in the Park brand, and we basically try to bring in relevant artists who our international guests will be familiar with and our local guests love, and by the time the concert's over, the international guests are big fans. It's also an opportunity to showcase local talent, because usually as the opening acts for some of these international artists, we will have some of Antigua's best performers performing reggae genre music.
Can you give us an idea of some of the names you've had in the past?
We've had Damian Marley, we've had Kimani Marley, we've had Junior Kelly, we've had Luciano, we've had Taurus Riley, we've had who have I forgotten? We've had Shaggy, we've had Chris Martin.
Chris Martin.
Not Coldplay Chris Martin, but we've had Chris Martin, his reggae Chris Martin.
The cooler Chris Martin.
Well, depends on who's asking. I don't want to start that debate about who's cooler. He's definitely a showstopper. That was our last show, 2019. And then obviously we've been canceled 2020, 2021. And so we're just going to have some sort of modified entertainment where, you know, every bar maybe has some reggae music going, and you get in at the 150 spot wherever you are. And if there's no room at that bar, you go to the next bar.
Yeah. I was going to say, with Yachty's, where there's a will, there's a way. They'll make sure something's going on. The events are centered around Falmouth Harbour and English Harbour.
English Harbour, yes. The regatta is based out of the Antigua Yacht Club right here, but we also have a really long-standing relationship with the Nelson's Dockyard. Mm. Usually what we have is we will have the Peters and May Run Antigua Race prize giving / opening of the week at the dockyard. And then we come back to the Yacht Club and we have all 5 days, and then we go back to the dockyard for the closing event. Reggae in the Park has been held in the dockyard as well for the past 8 years. We've had two locations. We've had Little Cult at Shirley's Height and we've had Nelson's Dockyard.
Finally, if you're not a yachtie, but you're in Antigua around this time, how can you get involved?
Not a sailor, not a problem. You can come out on a chase boat. We have catamarans, there's some power boats, and you come out and you basically get to see the live racing up close. We depend on a large core of volunteers, so you can get involved that way by being a volunteer with Antigua Sailing Week. You can also chase the race by land. There are lots of vista points on the south coast that you can see the races start and you see them going by. There's the Lookout, Shirley's Heights, even at Long Bay out east. When we do the Round Antigua race, you can actually, you know, have a glimpse of the races going by. Just being involved, follow us on social media and keep in touch as we stream most of our content. And we have daily wrap videos for those who are, you know, unable to make it. So you can still be a part of it. Yeah.
And then if you just come down here and just go from bar to bar, I'm sure.
Exactly. And support the businesses, support the community. I mean, that's a big part of Antigua Sailing Week.
Sounds amazing, doesn't it? And I reckon Reggae in the Park would still be pretty cool, even if Chris Martin from Coldplay turned up. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, there's more to sailing in Antigua and Barbuda than Sailing Week. There are regattas throughout the year, and the facilities in both English Harbour and Falmouth Harbour are fantastic, with world-class tradespeople on hand to help with repairs or customisations. I thought I'd have a chat with Devon Joseph, the General Manager of Antigua Yacht Club Marina and Resort, and get a bit of an overview of sailing in general in Antigua and Barbuda. Hi Devon, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Peter. How are you doing today?
Yeah, really, really good. Now, of course, sailing and yachting is such a big industry in Antigua and Barbuda. What makes it such a great destination for yachting?
I guess it can be summed up perfect weather. We have the perfect weather conditions all the time for yachting, and that sums it up as blue skies, nice wind, crystal clear waters. So every sailor's dream to be sailing in those sort of conditions. And when you have nice coastal islands surrounding Antigua and Barbuda that you can anchor off and enjoy snorkeling and picnicking and you know, those other activities, it makes pleasure sailing or competitive sailing pretty enjoyable. So yeah. From that aspect, it is the place to be.
Are there different seasons?
No, it's just one season, you know, sailing season. That's what we look at it. It's just a high season for sailing and a lower season for sailing. That's what we look at it as.
Now, of course, Antigua is rightly famous for its Sailing Week, which is coming up very soon. But there are events all through the year, aren't they? What are some of the more popular and famous ones?
One is the Antigua Charter Show. This is usually in December, where all of the mega yachts that the charters come and showcase all of their brilliance, their luxury services they have to offer. And then you have brokers and persons that are interested in chartering them for, you know, vacation will come and view these yachts. So you'll have yachts from all over the world coming to showcase what they have. And that is a real popular event. The other great racing events like our Arctic 600, where a lot of sailors have that as one of their bucket lists to compete in, because it's 600-mile continuous race that, depending on the speed of the yacht that you're on, it can take you just about a day and 20 hours around there to about 3-4 days. And so you have persons come from all around the world come to participate in this. We have persons booking up to 2 years in advance at the hotel just to secure for this event. So that's to tell you how prestigious that race is. And then we just completed Antigua Classic, where you have the classic wooden boats from 1920s, 30s, you know, that are fully restored.
I believe the boat that was used in the Duran Duran film clip for Rio often races in that.
Correct, that's correct. So, yeah, we have something happening every month. There's big regattas or small regattas, something happening in sailing every month.
And, of course, sailing in Antigua isn't just about getting out on the water, is it? There's a whole social scene based around Falmouth and English harbours. How can visitors immerse themselves in that? Have you got any sort of favourite places or things people should do?
You're correct. I mean, the shore activities are too numerous to mention. There's so much that you can do after being underwater. English Harbour and Falmouth is like a melting pot of culture, food and entertainment. I know there was a count some time ago that there's about maybe 45 to 50 different restaurants and bars that is within walking distance from the marinas in English Harbour. So you don't have a shortage of exquisite cuisine and dining that you can have. And then regarding the culture, English Harbour, Nelson's Dockyard is World Heritage Site. It has rich history on what is the museum, the tours that will let you know the history of Antigua through the days of when it was discovered. And so there is no shortage on learning about the nation's history. And then entertainment, it's the mecca place to be, where there's always some sort of band, live music, something happening every day of the week. You will not be bored.
And of course, at the heart of that is the Antigua Yacht Club Marina and Resort, which you're the general manager of. What kind of services do you offer yachties?
Our marina is a one-stop place. Once they pull up onto the dockage, or even if they are anchored out on the moorings in the bay and they come ashore onto the dock by their dinghy, we have cafes, coffee shops that you can get breakfast, lunch. We have full dining restaurants, Cloggies, which is well-renowned, that they can have dinner at. Then we still have supermarket, we have provisioning stores, fish shop that does local catch fish and livestock that can be bought. We have jewelry store, we have clothing stores, we have wine shop, you name it. There is a medical bay if you have an emergency. There is everything that you can think of on the marina. If you wish to have some sort of service, we can offer you. Going outside of that, we do refueling, we do waste removal, electricity. There is the availability of sail repairs that they can actually come right down to the dock to your vessel and assist you with that. So all of the external services are easy accessible to your vessel via the marina. There's no other marina to go to.
No, exactly. And of course, a lot of people don't realize just the level of skill that is there in Antigua that has basically started from back in the days of Nelson's Dockyard and has continued through the generations.
That's correct. The skills of refitting, varnishing, water maker repairs, you know, IT technology side of it, it's all available. Any of the technical issues, you know, even with the satellites, anything of that sort, these sort of services are available.
And from what I hear as well, amongst the cheapest fuel in this part of the Caribbean.
Yes, we have been able to maintain our competitiveness on the fuel, and also with the upgrade of our fuel pump system, we are also one of the fastest. Once you have one of those mega yachts that usually may take about 2 days to refuel,
wow.
In some places we can do it in 1 day.
That's an important consideration, isn't it, really, if you're saving that kind of time?
Oh, yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
And the resort itself, what kind of services do you offer there? Self-catering rooms? How does it work?
Well, the resort was initially built to supplement the marina. We have a lot of sailors who may do the crossing, who may just want to get away for a couple of nights. So the resort is there for them to get a break. And as I said, it's self-catering rooms. We have persons that will bring their loved ones, family members, that will spend, you know, up to a month here in Antigua, and so they can able to stay in the resort and have, you know, kitchen facilities while they stay there. So we cater to the yacht, to the boat, as they have change of crew, whatever the need is that the boat may not be able to handle. Like just currently now, we have a small sailing vessel that has 4 persons, but the boat needs some repairs. They have to come off board for about a week. So it's right there that they can go back and forth to their vessel from their room. The accessibility of it really designed to be there to cater to them.
Not just accessibility to the boat, like you said, the scene, the restaurants and the bars and all that sort of thing. So it's all there. The buzz is just there.
Exactly. No need to rent a car. It's all accessible.
Now, for a visitor to Antigua who isn't necessarily into sailing, how would you recommend they get a taste of the scene?
We have quite a few persons who do not wish to be out in the water every day. They may just want to go out for a bit. There's some nice vessels that you could rent for a couple hours, do a little sunset cruise, just have the experience, you know, soak up the atmosphere around. They may be interested into hiking. They may be interested into horseback riding. And, you know, there's all these different activities around that they can enjoy. What we do get a lot of is couples. One half is into doing courses. There's schools that does like powerboat training and so forth that is certified.
And I think you've also got the little National Sailing Academy just around the corner there as well.
Exactly. So you may have the one half will go off and do their courses for the morning. And then the other half may go down to Pigeon Point or to Galleon Beach and read a book and enjoy until they meet up. So there's things that persons can do that is still entertaining, kayaking and so forth, that while they may have loved ones in their group or as a family reunion group or those are the persons we have come through, some may want to be out in the water and some will be just wanting to sit at the bar, have a drink and relax.
Now, finally, what's the future of sailing in Antigua and Barbuda look like?
I think the future is going to be very bright and very promising. It starts with the government, who have been putting more and more attention towards yachting sector and sailing. They have focused resources to improve it. And then while we are looking to expand in having more regattas, the ones that we currently have, and improving them and bringing up the standard to world class. And then for those who are the charter vessels who are here to cater to the owners and persons who wish to charter them to the island, is to making the whole experience from flying in to provisioning the boat and getting whatever resources that they may need to be more accessible, made easier. So we see that there's the effort that is being put from the private sector side and the government side. We see that everyone is really working together to make sure that we are continually growing. And we see that by that team effort, the entire experience of sailing will be one that will be great and memorable.
Sounds like the future of sailing in Antigua and Barbuda is in good hands. Now, if you don't know your bow from your stern, fear not. You can still enjoy everything sailing in Antigua and Barbuda has to offer. You've just got to let someone else do the sailing for you. Nicholson's Yacht Charters and Services have been offering full-service charters in Antigua and Barbuda since 1949. They offer everything from affordable day charters to once-in-a-lifetime five-star charters where no luxury is spared. Some charters even come with their own Michelin-starred chef. I had a chat with their manager, Sarah Sebastian, to find out more. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good, Peter. Thanks for calling.
No, my pleasure. Now, Nicholson's have had a very close relationship with the development of sailing in Antigua. I think they started back in 1949. And I think when the founders set up shop there on Nelson's Dockyard, it was pretty much abandoned, wasn't it, with goats grazing around the place?
Yes, it certainly was. And in fact, there was bush growing right up to the dockyard gates. And when they put the car park in, we really thought of the Joni Mitchell song, Paving Paradise. But it did, in fact, improve the area. But it was very deserted. When I got here in 1981, there was 6 or 7 sailing boats, maybe 2 motor yachts and a couple of boats in Falmouth. And that was it.
It's not like that anymore.
It's not. We now have the Nelson's Dockyard Marina has now built the super yacht dock to put the larger yachts on, which is all ISM compliant. And we have a huge marina in the Antigua Yacht Club Marina and the Falmouth Harbour Marina. So we've gone from 1 small dock to 3, and then count the catamaran, 4 large marinas in the area.
And of course, with Sailing Week coming up, it's just going to be absolute madness there, all the boats docked there and all the sort of activities going on.
It's a lovely time of year, actually. In March, the larger motor yachts and the larger sailboats, charter boats and private, start thinking about their summer destinations. So they sort of leave. And then early February, all the classic yachts come in for the classic yacht regatta, and then all the racing yachts for race week. So it's a real changeover, and that the amount of masts you see in Falmouth and English Harbour is staggering.
Sailing in the Caribbean, and especially somewhere as magical as Antigua, is the stuff of dreams. It must be right up on everyone's bucket list. And I guess a yacht charter like the ones that you guys offer is a way of people living that dream. How exactly does a yacht charter work?
We do crewed boats. So every boat of ours has at least a captain, and usually a captain and chef hostess. And then the larger ones, you get another deckhand and more crew as the size goes up. But it's a fabulous vacation. Passengers would fly into Antigua, board the yacht and get an introduction, a safety briefing. And a charter day is pretty much run with 2 to 3 hours sailing a day and then anchoring up either in a busy port or off a busy village or in a deserted location, launching all the water sports equipment, having a lovely lunch on board and really relaxing for the rest of the day with some shore excursions, snorkeling, swimming, maybe another short sail in the afternoon if you want to go somewhere else. The charter guest really decides what they want to do every day under the captain's sort of guidance.
And I'm guessing they quickly get an idea of what their guests are into as well and can sort of adjust accordingly.
Yes, so we have a questionnaire we send out to our clients about a month before they board their charter yacht with all their likes and dislikes, allergies, food preferences, drink preferences, but also a lot of information on what kind of water sports they like. Do they like hiking? Do they like horse riding? All the activities. And that information is given to the captain and the chef on board, and then they'll create the itinerary based on that information and call the clients directly and have a chat and arrange the rendezvous point to meet the yacht or whether the captain goes to the airport and picks them up. And it's very specifically tailor-made to the charter group.
I was looking around your website and I saw that a lot of the crew can help you learn various water sports as well.
Absolutely. If they've got flyboards on board now or stand-up paddleboards are very popular, there's always a crew member that's an absolute expert that's very happy to teach and show you how to use equipment safely and to get people onto another level and get them better at the sport they like.
And I'm guessing that applies to something like scuba diving or snorkeling and that sort of stuff as well.
Everything from scuba diving, snorkeling, to paddleboarding, to kite surfing, to this new foils and wings and sea-doos. On the larger yachts with jet skis and the motorized water sports equipment, they have to have a crew member that's RYA qualified to teach the guests how to use that equipment.
So what kind of yachts are available?
We have everything from, I've got a beautiful 56-foot catamaran here that's got 3 queen cabins and a Michelin star chef on board that does Antigua Barbuda charters. And then I've got some lovely mono hulls. I've got some Oyster 82s. An Oyster 66, and then going up into the larger yachts with 77-foot catamarans, lagoons, and performance cats, and also into the motor yacht range. We really start, we've got a day charter boat, a 58-foot Princess day charter boat. It's the only day charter boat we Nicholson's have in Antigua. But then we have the term charter yachts, motor boats, starting at about 85 feet up to 200 feet, anything from 3 cabins up to 5 cabins.
So what do you think makes Antigua such a great place for sailing?
Oh, you just have to leave the harbour on a broad reach and you are in some of the best blue water sailing in the world. It's really fantastic. And there again, We have beautiful, big, deep bays where when it's blowing 20 knots outside, you can go into the bay and it's quiet, the water's calm. You can still launch all the water sports equipment, not get blown away if you're a beginner. So it's really dual purpose of fabulous sailing with flat, calm bays for quiet anchorages to do all sorts of other activities. And then our sister island of Barbuda, which is becoming more popular these days, 15 miles away, about a 2.5 hour sail. And there you've got 17 miles of beach with nothing on it. We can do frigate bird sanctuary tours, the pink sand beach. And it really is just that getaway desert island feel.
Yeah, I was lucky enough actually to get across. It is like stepping into a different world. I caught the little plane over and there really isn't many ways to get across there. So I think a yacht would be just lovely.
Yeah, because then you can anchor off several beaches. You can have a beach fire, grill lobsters on the beach. We can do all sorts of things over in Bobby.
Call into Nobu and see if Robert De Niro's there.
Absolutely. But it's lovely. You can do the desert island thing and then you can go to Nobu or something like that, or come back over to Antigua and be an abracadabra at an Italian nightclub all night.
Fantastic.
So we really are quite diverse.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, again, looking around your website, you do talk about the different anchorages in Antigua. What are the main ones and how are they different in what they offer?
Well, obviously Nelson's Dockyard, a World Heritage Site, well worth seeing, having a tour, and we can arrange a private tour and seeing some of the fortifications and the cannons and the history. And then Falmouth Harbour has a wonderful beach restaurant called Catherine's, which everybody wants to go to, and all the big yachts are anchored at the marinas, so that's quite nice for guests to see. And then continue round down to Cades Reef for snorkeling, Pinching Bay, which you can only get to by yacht, so that's always a nice place to go because there's no road to it. And then round to the Bird Island area in Jumbie Bay, there's several nice anchorages with offline islands, baby sharks, Stingray City, great snorkeling. And another lovely spot is Nonsuch Bay and Green Island, which is 11 miles upwind from English Harbour. That's quite a large island, two islands in the bay, a big barrier reef, and a fantastic anchorages, great snorkeling, great kite surfing. And there you can have a nice desert island feel up there and sail 11 miles back down to English Harbour and be in a nightclub that night if you want.
What would you say is the best time of year, or are there different moods to different times of the year?
Really, the season gets going earlier now in November for Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, the third Thursday in November. Christmas, New Year are booked out a year in advance. You have to get in very early. Yachts cost a bit more at Christmas and New Year. It's our two prime weeks of the year. And then now is a lovely time to charter. And we do charter right through the year with a couple of boats that stay around or that I can get to come here from other islands. But as I say, really, I would say anywhere from December right through to the end of May is fabulous.
Now, finally, what would be your favourite sailing spot in Antigua?
Probably I would say to sail down the south side of the island behind Cades Reef to Pinching Bay would be my number one. My number two would be Nonsuch Bay and Green Island. And my number three would be Barbuda. But Barbuda would be number one, but it's a bit weather dependent. And also you have to like beaches. You have to like beaches and nothing else. Be very happy with nothing but beach.
All right, I'm sold. When my lotto numbers come up, I'm booking their biggest and best yacht. Now, what if you're on holiday at a resort in Antigua and you just want to get a taste of the sailing good life? Maybe just for the day or even an afternoon. I spoke to Pia Baptist from Tropical Adventures to get the lowdown. Chances are when you get to Antigua, you'll spot a boat bobbing along on the sparkling blue waters and think, that looks pretty cool. But if you're not a sailor and you didn't just win the lottery, how do you go about it? Well, luckily on Antigua, there are a lot of tour companies who are there to help you live out your fantasy, even if just for the day. Tropical Adventures is one of the best, and today I'm talking to General Manager Pia Baptist about the fantastic boat trips they offer visitors. Hi, Pia, how are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
Yeah, really good. Now, Antigua is a pretty special place to go boating. It'd be a crime not to, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. It's the best place to go boating.
What do you think makes it so special?
The beautiful weather, of course. The Caribbean sunshine. It's always around 31 Celsius every day here.
Wow.
The turquoise waters, what is about 21 Celsius in warmth, so it's lovely to swim in. The tropical fish, what you can see when you go snorkeling. Mother Nature comes to you and we observe Mother Nature. We give you some of the history of Antigua. We share with you the beautiful viewpoints, what you see on the way. It's just a blessing to be on a boat and to take it all in.
Now, Tropical Adventures, how long have you guys been going for?
At least for 26 years. Right now we have 4 sailing catamarans and 1 large power catamaran. The power catamaran, the Excellent is her name. She actually does 100% circumnavigation. Or actually in the summer months, we normally take her to our sister island, Barbuda, where we're visiting the 2 different beaches, including Princess Diane Beach. And it's just the most beautiful island you can ever be on.
And it's tricky to get to as well. I don't think people realize how tricky it is to get to Barbuda. I mean, the daily ferry sometimes doesn't go at all. The plane that goes there is only tiny. So what a fantastic way to get out to Barbuda on a boat like that.
Yes, on the power catamaran, on the Excellent. Keep in mind, it's a crossing, but it is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and the beaches there, like you said, are just amazing. They're just long and empty.
Yes, long and empty, indeed.
You will get them to yourself. It's almost guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Now, what are the variety of trips that you offer?
Well, with the Excellent around the island, 100% circumnavigation, and the Barbuda trip in the summertime. And the sailing catamarans. The sailing catamarans are famous for the Cade Reef, that is an open water reef on the western side of the island. And there is where we're offering a snorkeling trip for the guests who are interested. It's optional. And of course, beach relaxation on one of the most beautiful beaches on the west coast. So it's all calm waters. And then we have our famous sunsets. The Caribbean sunset is so beautiful, magic. So we're doing this 4 times in a week.
Okay.
So 2.5 hour sunset cruise with an open bar and hors d'oeuvres that we're serving. It's a very popular tour, very popular.
And I saw on your website as well, you also do a lobster lunch sailing trip on the catamarans, don't you?
We are award winners for the lobster lunch.
Having a look at your website, it looks like your sailing catamarans, I think there's the Mystic and the Mystic 2 and probably a couple of others, but that would offer the kind of sailing experience, wouldn't it? You know, the flapping sails and the sea spray and holding on to the rigging like a Duran Duran film clip. They're the best options for that, aren't they?
Absolutely. And because it's a catamaran, they're very steady on the water. So guests who are a little worried about getting seasick, no worries on our catamaran. We are large, very comfortable, enough seating for everybody, and the bathrooms are on board. The barbecue is on the vessel itself. So, yeah, everything is right there.
And of course, I'm not a sailor, so forgive me if I'm not using the correct terms, but you've also got that kind of netting between that people can kind of sunbake on and stuff, haven't they? They're sort of between the hulls.
We have our trampoline nets.
There you go, trampoline.
It's not for jumping up, but definitely for pure relaxation, to go and lie down, you know. Especially if you travel with your family, the children love the nettings to sit on and see the water underneath gliding away. Yeah.
I was actually out there a couple of months ago and I ran into this family and they were just saying, how can we go on a sailing trip? So I think it's something that people would really love to do. So do they need to book through a tour company or can they do it through the website? Do they get in contact with you directly? How should they go about organizing their trip with you?
Everybody can, of course, go directly to our website, tropatsantigua.com, or you can go straight into your hotel and book with your tour desk. There are also a lot of vendors, what we call beach vendors here in Antigua, who are also selling our product. Or if you stroll to St. John's, you can come upstairs, our office, Reckley Streets. Also, if you want private charters that you come with a large family or your wedding party, we're offering it all.
What do people need to bring along? Is there anything they should bring along with them?
Light clothing, bathing suit underneath the clothes, comfortable footwear, sunblock, maybe a hat, some glasses, and we look after everything else.
Do you guys go and pick people up from their hotels, or do they have to make their way down to the harbour? How does that work?
Depending where the hotel is, but if it's like Royalton at Deep Bay, we can collect you from there. Or otherwise, we bring you to town, and then in the afternoon, we drop you off right back on the beach. And Sandals Resort, Sandals, Dickinson Bay, all the hotels located at Dickinson Bay, we actually will collect you and drop you back off right on the beach.
Oh, wow.
Our catamarans can actually go straight on the beach, and then a ladder will be lowered, and you walk straight from the vessel straight on the beach.
Wow, that sounds pretty magical, actually, to be picked up and dropped off at your beach. Sounds great.
Yeah.
So finally, what would be your favorite sailing trip in Antigua?
I do love our sailing catamarans because it's so relaxed. And you see the beautiful West Coast, what I absolutely adore. But the power catamaran, the Excellent, when she does a circumnavigation cruise, you can actually see the 365 beaches that Antigua can offer you. The beautiful coastline, the in the southern side, the rock formation. You just must see that. It is absolutely gorgeous. And then my second choice would be the sunset. Absolutely.
I've got to say, having a look around on your website, that was the one that caught my eye. It looks absolutely beautiful. And of course, this, like you said, the sunsets are quite unlike anywhere else. A Caribbean sunset, a glass of bubbly, a lobster on the grill. I think that's what's known in the business as an affordable indulgence. You've got to do it next time you're in Antigua. Now, I want to tell you about one of my favourite places in Antigua, the National Sailing Academy on Dockyard Drive down in English Harbour. The Academy was founded by Elizabeth Jordan in 2010, and its motto is changing lives one tack at a time. For an island surrounded by water, it's astounding how many people in Antigua can't swim. The Academy was set up to change that by offering free swimming and sailing lessons to kids as part of the national curriculum. On any given day, you'll see minibuses full of school kids arriving from all parts of the island. All of them will learn to swim and sail. Some will pursue sailing not just as a sport or a leisure activity, but also as a career. The Academy is there to support them. The Academy also offers sailing lessons for visitors, with one of the Academy graduates as your teacher. It's a great way to get out on the water and learn a new skill. But best of all, you'll be helping support this amazing enterprise. Last time I was in Antigua, I got to chat to one of their graduates, a young sailor called Jemsey. Here's what he had to say. I'm here at the National Sailing Academy on Falmouth Harbour, and I'm chatting to Jemsey, who's a sailing instructor here. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Yeah, good. This is a pretty cool place, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is. Very cool place. Place where you would learn how to sail and have a little bit of fun, extra activity, you know.
Now, the idea behind the Sailing Academy, I believe, was to teach local kids to swim and sail.
Yes, exactly. Kids would come after school and they would be in our sailing program. It would be kids from All Saints and local schools nearby, and they would come down here and they would learn how to sail and how to swim.
I think there's a little pool, isn't there, just around the side?
That's where we do our swimming classes.
Yeah.
Which is actually starting back next week.
Because surprisingly, even though Antigua is surrounded by water, a lot of people can't swim, can they?
Some of them really can't. And it's quite amusing to say we have so much beaches and a lot of people don't know how to swim.
Did you start here as like a student?
Yeah, so I was going to school and my mother saw a Facebook post about the Sailing Academy and she was interested. So she decided, you know what, we're just going to take a trip down there to see what's going on down there. I came initially for swimming because my mother thought I couldn't swim. I thought I could swim a lot, you know. She didn't really think so. So when we came here and he threw us in the water, he told us, come on, let's see what you got. He's like, nah, you could swim. Let's start you on sailing. I was like, sure, I could do that. So I came and I took a sail for the first time and I fell in love with it completely.
What did they start you out on?
I started on a Cuba, which is a small, maybe like 8-10 foot boat. We don't have any right now. We have a similar boat though. It's right there. It's called the Zest. So it's a single-handed boat. You sail it by yourself. Right? So something like similar to that. That's what I started off with.
So then you were just sailing for fun?
Yeah, sailed for fun, yeah.
And they have little races and things, do they?
Yeah, we had mini regattas and competitive races with other people around your age, you know? To be like, come on, race me. That's what we do for fun.
And it's a pretty special spot, isn't it, here
in
Falmouth
Harbour? Yeah, it's a very beautiful area.
Last time I was here, I went out with one of your guys sailing, and there was like a turtle swimming
in the
harbour.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We have local animals, a lot of them actually. So we have turtles, we have lots of different fishes just off the end of the dock. and a good arm ecosystem around here.
And where can it take kids like you who start sailing? I mean, you've become an instructor. Do they go on and sort of race professionally and do all that kind of stuff?
Yes, you'd start off as a beginner and then you would see where it takes you, because there's lots of opportunities here in sailing. You could start off as a beginner and end up being a sailing instructor just like I did. No one starts off being the best, but after practice and a lot of work, you know, you get better progressively. You end up being something great, and there's lots of opportunities. You never know where it could take you.
One of the main things the Academy does, as we've said, is teaching kids to swim and to sail. But also for visitors to Antigua, they can come down here.
Yeah, they can come down here and they could have a lesson. We arrange that. We have RYE lessons. Good opportunity, you know?
Yeah. Not just a good opportunity to learn to sail, but to have some fun as well.
Exactly. It's one of Antigua's, like, I guess, underrated sports.
Are there any famous graduates, in inverted commas, from the Academy that have gone on to sail at the Olympics or sail at the Commonwealth Games?
Stuff? Yeah, we have two girls. They were sailing instructors here and they got picked up to go on a ship and now they're traveling around the world.
Wow. What would your advice be to anyone who's visiting Antigua? Come down, check it out, help the Academy, take some lessons.
Yeah, definitely. Not only help the Academy, but help yourself, you know? Try to experience something new, something you've never done before, and try to make the best out of it.
We might just come down to the end
of the dock. You can go at the end of the
dock. Yeah. Okay, so we're out on the little pontoon or jetty.
Yeah, the little jetty, yeah.
Yeah, we've got some catamarans, some Hobie 15s.
Yeah.
What are these ones here?
The Ventures.
The Ventures.
Yeah. We've got a Sport 16.
The Sport 16.
Yeah. And this is our
powerboat. And then you've got this boat. Now, yeah. Last time I was here, they put something on the back so you could sort of... like a tube, that's right.
A tube, oh, yeah.
They put a tube on the back of
this. Oh, you went tubing?
Yeah.
I bet you had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. I mean... It was fun, for sure. Now, which are the ones that you guys race in?
You could race these. These would be in the same class, actually, the Venture and the 16. They would have a keelboat class.
Are you a local boy? You grew up around here?
I came to Antigua when I was 1 year old.
Okay.
Yep.
From
the Dominican Republic.
Okay, cool. Yep. And like you said, your mum saw the ad on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
And brought
out
you
of
down.
Complete curiosity, and it ended up being my job now.
Yeah.
After school.
So what do you love about sailing?
I love the feeling that you get when you're in a boat and you're like, yeah, the wind's hitting me, you know, I'm going super fast across the water. You get this feeling of adrenaline, this feeling of joy when you sail. It's something that you really have to experience for yourself and find that love for yourself.
And I'm guessing it's a hobby, it's an activity, keeps you off the streets, you know what I mean? It's a
focus. Exactly, yeah. Something for you to do, something to keep your mind occupied. It's a lot of things that you have to learn, you know?
So I'm guessing it's not just sailing skills you're learning, it's like skills you can use for life, you know?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of stuff here. Most of the stuff that you get taught here in the Sailing Academy, you'd realize that you do it somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
Something that you would do in your everyday life and just helps you out in the future, prepares you for life.
Here's something you may not know. That iconic film clip for Duran Duran's song Rio, the one where the band is cavorting on a yacht in colourful Anthony Price suits, sailing on an impossibly blue sea, that was shot in Antigua. Apparently most of the band were on holiday there and their management thought it would be a good idea to shoot a film clip while they were there. It went on to become iconic, a staple of MTV, and capturing perfectly the colour and excesses of the 80s. Sadly, the yacht used in the film clip, a 70-foot ketch called Elian, fell into disrepair, but in 2006, it was rescued and restored by Angelo Bonatti, the CEO of the Italian watch manufacturer Panerai. In 2012, he invited the guys from Duran Duran back to Antigua when the Elian took part in the classic yacht regatta. They stayed at the inn at English Harbour. My next guest, Fabio Giorgi, is the general manager and he joins me today. Hi Fabio, how are you?
Hi Peter, I'm good, thank you.
What do you remember from those times back in 2012 when the Duran Duran guys showed up?
Well, it was a really nice experience for us, for the hotel, for the guests, and for the whole area English Harbour, because it was a mix with this beautiful boat coming back alive, with the Duran Duran that were involved in the project of the restoration of the boat. And of course, they were here as our guests. They enjoy mix with our staff and client, and they were there on the boat a few times.
So who from Duran Duran was there? Do you remember? Was it all of them or just some of them?
Three of them. Simon was there. I don't remember the name of the other two. three of the four, sorry.
Well, I'm not surprised Simon Le Bon's there. I think after that film clip was made, I think he got hooked on the whole sailing thing and bought his own yacht, if I remember rightly.
Right.
I suspect Nick Rhodes probably wasn't there because from what I can gather, when the original film clip was done, he couldn't wait to get off the boat. Did they talk much about the making of the original clip?
When they arrived, we were on the terrace restaurant, which is by the reception. So we were looking at the bay in front of the hotel. And so they were talking about the time they were there and the video reel was done. So yes, at that time, we had a chance to exchange a few words about that. After they were so much taken by the event with the panorama, so it was a less talk.
Yeah, of course. I was just going to say, what was their involvement in that? Did they go sailing or were they just there to sort of be part of the scene?
They were sailing basically on a daily basis. They were on the island yacht and they participated on the sailing. Yeah, they did.
And the big question is, were they wearing ridiculously colourful suits?
They did not actually at the time. They were not Duran Duran, we remember, when they were singing things, yeah.
Fantastic. Now, you're the general manager of the Inn at English Harbour, and it's an absolutely magical place right there on the water. What's it like for you during Sailing Week?
Well, Sailing Week has been always a great event for Antigua and for English Harbour, and it was actually started between two gentlemen, and one was the previous owner of the inn, so it was Peter Dietz. So we've always been at the center of this event, and it happened just around us, and it's beautiful. I mean, the TVT, the energy that you see around the whole area during that week, it's just fantastic.
And a lot more boats, I'm imagining, just in
Correct.
Front of you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you put any special events on?
As a hotel, we don't, because quite a few of the people that are in the hotel at that time, they will be out sailing basically most of the day. And then there is a lot of event happening just next door to us here in English Harbour. So it's a little oasis for them is to switch off and come back at the hotel and relax on the beach. So we give them that escape from the activity, yeah.
Yeah, because it gets quite full on, doesn't it? I think there's lots of bands playing. There's lots of...
Exactly, yeah.
I think there's a ball, is there? Where is that held? Is that over in Nelson's Dockyard?
Nelson Dockyard, which is it's a UNESCO site now, and they have a beautiful area where they do quite a few of the events, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your favourite thing about Sailing Week?
Well, for me, it's because Antigua is a very tranquil and calm island, to see the activity and the show that they put up, the energy. That's what I really like. You know, it's a different week from the other months of the year. So the energy, basically, and the type of activity and see from our restaurant, or our beach, the boat going out. It's beautiful, yeah.
And what would your advice to visitors be during Sailing Week?
Well, as I said, it's a nice, busy week with a lot of activities. So if possible, to stay in this area so they can be part of all of them. Some people will come and there are boats that look for crew, for instance. But it's just nice to see the variety and the number of boats that are around at that time. So it's a good week to come, basically.
Now, finally, you've been on the island now for close to 20 years, I think. So what do you think makes Antigua and Barbuda such a special destination?
To me, it's always been the authenticity of the place compared to other places that have tried to target this group of clientele. Antigua is still very authentic in their people, in the places. Of course, there is the 365 beaches, which is beautiful, but the most important things for me, you come and you experience the real Caribbean here.
You know, I used to have hair like Simon Le Bon. Could never quite carry off the brightly coloured suit look, though. Anyway, the good news is that sailing in Antigua is not just the domain of 80s pop stars and international supermodels. With a little bit of carbon fibre and resin, some canvas, and a few bits and pieces off Amazon, you can join the exciting, albeit miniaturised, world of model boat racing. Just head down to the harbour, just in front of the yacht club, and look for a bunch of guys holding remote controls and hollering and making a racket. That'll be our final guest for this episode and his mates, Lyndon Pamphile. Hi Lyndon, how are you?
I am very good actually. No complaints on this end.
That's great. Now, tell us about the model boat scene in Antigua.
Presently, the boats are being painted and getting fresher for the next grudge match. Muddy boating is something that I know from in the 70s. I've actually been a part of it when we used to have to swim behind little 12 inches, come all the way out into the bay, make your mark, you turn them around, you change your sail set, and you do everything by sea. And then it goes up to when you got a rudder in there, and now the boat becomes a little too big for you to swim, so you got to have a dinghy. And then we get to the point where we got a remote control on the rudders, not on the sail yet. We used to just go from the shore out into the middle of the bay. And then in by that time, we have 6-footers were the biggest boats we have at that time. By the time we get around to looking towards the 7s, we start to get some winches. And now the 5-footers, the 4-footers, the 6-footers, and then the monster, the 7-footers. They all became remote control, and now you got more bragging rights, you got more talk of the town, which I'm a part of, you know? We just let it rip.
Where are these races held? You said out in the harbour. Falmouth Harbour, is it that this goes on?
Yes, out in Falmouth Harbour. Sometimes, depends on who is having the race. We might have one over in the yacht club, but that is just recent time. In the older time, we'll be from the Catamaran Hotel or west of the Catamaran Hotel, because we are very loud people and we are very proud people. It's very difficult to control us. So.
Sure, sure. Well, it's a race.
Most times it always be a lot of fun. Always. Especially if there's a lot of wind blowing.
What is the remote control these days? Is it like the rudder, the position of the sail?
It's the sails and the rudder. You can set any course and we can make it. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't really matter. We just do that in a flash. Especially for the 6 and the 7 footers, they're super fast. You can look on a mark and say, oh, that is all the way out in the bay. Before you know it, 15 minutes, we're back on the shore. I was talking to one of the competitors yesterday, and I'm looking at his tender. He has it's a big monster. It's about 28 feet with what, 2 150 horses on the back. So I look at him and say, isn't that a little bit too much power for what we're doing? And he goes like this, Rusty, when those boats start to move, man, you need to have something to catch them. You need to catch them quick.
So what sizes do the boats come in generally? Is there like set sizes?
Maximum size is 7 feet. It doesn't tell you how wide, how tall the rig is. All it says is 7 feet. It doesn't tell you the length of your keel. It doesn't tell you the weight on your keel. No, no, no. 7 feet. If you're more than 6 feet by an inch, then you bump up into the 7-footer.
Okay, so there are different classes then.
Yes, by size. You don't find much people with the 4-footers these days because the 5-footers have all the fun. 5, 6, and 7-footers have all the fun. We don't have any in-between classes.
Are there any rules within that on the size of the sails, et cetera, et cetera?
Just the length of the boat, and then we race on the rules that you will use in a big boat race will be the ones we use in the paddle boat race.
It's like a big race, but just miniaturized.
Yes, because a lot of us are actually sailing, real sailors, you know?
Is big necessarily better with the boats?
If you have a good boat, let's say for instance, if you got a 6-footer and it's really fast, I mean, nothing can catch it in the 6-foot class. It doesn't hurt to bump it up into the 7-footers. Chances are on a good day, you just might run things. But it's also possible that you'll be holding up the rear.
It's not just playing around. There's some very serious and real sailing skills involved, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, man. You have to have a lot of skills. You have to have somebody who can call the shifts of the wind and all the good stuff that you will see take place on a big boat. Most times, you'll find one or two guys can do everything. But even though that one person can do one or two things, somebody else who has someone who knows exactly how the ship is behaving can still have a slow boat and still beat you by making the right moves at the right time.
Tactical calls, yeah.
So even though you look to yourself that you have speed, just because you're overconfident, somebody who's calling the right tactics will still beat you.
Now, I hear you get some of the young folk involved from the sailing academy.
I'm not too sure about the sailing academy. I'm not for sure about Yacht Club, because a lot of the youngsters from Yacht Club, quite a few of them, take part actually with us when we race in their own boats and they are also captain's boat. So let's say, for instance, I might be sailing and listen to one of these guys talking and they sound like, hey, them boys' brain is a little bit above mine. I just pass in the remote.
Fantastic.
Because they're the future. You have to trust them.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
When I race with them, I said to one guy, listen, you call in all the shots on this leg, and then I'll say to another one, you call all the shots on the other leg. And all I do is just drive. The only request I have is whenever you want me to make a turn, give me a countdown. 5 seconds, I'm good.
So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, turn.
That's it. Because these youngsters, they're good. I'm not joking. And they don't like losing.
No. So you win a race. What's the kind of bragging rights you have? Do people buy your beer down the pub or how does it work?
Oh, man. If you have a race and it's a trophy race, man, you got a whole year to brag on that race. Because ain't nobody can say anything about that one. Because you are the man. The good thing about muddy boat racing is that I might be a competitor and one more competitor have an issue and I can help him out. Man, I'm right in there helping him to beat me while I want to beat him.
Do people make the boats themselves?
Man, we make everything that is possible for us to do. So what we'll do is we'll get a piece of foam. Sometimes we'll make a box depending on the width that we're going to have and the length. And we'll buy some liquid foam and we fold this box of foam. And from there, we will shape the boat into what we want it to be. In the older days, we used to use wood, a timber called terrapin. It is a red bark tree, very light when it's dry, good for the purpose. The thing is, it doesn't last for too long because of termites and so forth. So then some guys move over to white pine. Then they realize, it's still not durable because termites again. And so some guys, including myself, moved to fiberglass. That works for a while until the advent of carbon fiber started to get into play. You still have a few turpentine and white pine boats that's performing very well, but you can't do much modification after a while with these boats because you have to do some repair on the inside to keep your shape, which give it weight because you have to use some fiberglass matting on the inside and that's added weight. And we don't like too much weight different to the lead on the bottom.
You're a varnisher and painter by profession, so I'm sure you've got all these guys bringing their real world skills or big world skills down into the model boat scene.
Oh, yeah. We have riggers, we have carpenters, we have taxi driver, we have divers. Man, we got the whole mix, but everybody loves model boat racing.
It sounds like an amazing scene.
It's a wonderful thing, man. It's a wonderful thing.
How often are these races held, generally speaking?
Normally, we will have a race this weekend, the week before the Classic Regatta in Antigua, which will be about 2 to 3 weeks before the Antigua Sailing Week. That used to be the biggest race. But in saying that, though, we still used to go and have races that we arrange without the Antigua Tourism Board involved, like the independent race and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, we still pull it off and then we set our own winning prize. You know, winners take all race. Sometimes we will arrange that, you know. There's no second, there's no third, only the first place.
Winner takes it all.
Yes. So, you know, you don't stand a chance if you get lost, beaten by on the finish line.
If someone's visiting Antigua and Barbuda and they want to check out the model boat racing, what would you suggest they do? Head down to Falmouth Harbour, anywhere in particular, any particular day?
All you have to do is on a Sunday, any Sunday, just as long as the boys are sailing, from midday, you go on the Catamarina dock. Most of the races will start just outside and you can enjoy a couple of hours of loudness, racing, and a lot of fun.
Our final guest is Antiguan Sailing Royalty. He represented Antigua and Barbuda at both the 1996 and 2000 Olympics. He has raced yachts in over 35 countries around the world. He ran the dinghy sailing program at the Antigua Yacht Club for almost 30 years. And in February this year, he was appointed MBE for his services to the sport. His name is Carl James, president of the Antigua and Barbuda Sailing Association, and he joins me today from English Harbour. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Peter.
Now, you've been sailing since you were 12, I believe. How did you get started in sailing?
As the charter scene in the 70s was taking off in Antigua, many of the captains didn't really have much to do. So the yacht club would organize races to encourage them to get into Antigua Sailing Week. And as a young boy in the village, I used to go down to the dockyard and try to get on boats, you know, and following the other bigger boys.
So you grew up down by the harbour then and saw all the boats and it just got in your blood?
Yes, I was just fascinated and the stories of people travelling and so forth was quite intriguing to me. So it sparked my interest.
And, I mean, you reached some pretty giddy heights. I think you competed for Antigua and Barbuda at the 1996 and the 2000 Olympics in the laser class, I think. How was that?
It was an amazing experience. And I think what made it even more special, I was working for St. James Club as a water sports attendant. And I met Dennis Connor, the America's Cup sailor, and took him sailing on a Hobie Cat. And during conversation, he says, I will send you a laser. And 3 years later, I showed up at the Olympics in 96 in Atlanta.
That's incredible.
So that was pretty special.
Where else has your career taken you?
Well, my career path has gone to the big boat scene, the supermaxes, and coaching as well. Because as a sailor, Olympic campaigner, at the same time, I was also running a sailing program at the Antigua Yacht Club, the junior program there. And then the big boat scene was taking off with the supermaxes, where I was racing on the J boats at Sailing Week and events all around the world in Sardinia, in Parma, in Saint-Tropez and places like that.
I think I read somewhere you've been racing in 76 countries. Is that right?
I've been to over 75 countries, yeah.
Wow. Yachting can take you around the world, basically.
Yes.
How different is it for young sailors today than it was when you were starting out?
Well, I have been doing it for the last 30 years, and many of the people who are now the entrepreneurs in the industry has come through the system. Antigua was fortunate for the last America's Cup to have 3 sailors from Antigua, from a population of 80,000. One sailed for New Zealand, the other sailed for Italy, and one sailed for the US team. And that has been a motivator. Just recently, we had Chasey Edwards, who has the Maiden Project, the first woman team to go around the world, has 2 young Antiguans as part of that crew. So the young people in Antigua has been exposed to that kind of achievement. It has opened a lot of avenues for young people to get involved in sailing.
Like you said, it's a career that can take them around the world. And it's also a career, I guess, because of all the amazing facilities in Antigua, it's a career they can pursue on their home island as well.
I believe sailing is probably one of the very few sports that has direct employment, where you do not have to be a Sir Ben Ainslie or anything of that sort. But you can get a job in as a yacht captain, as a water sports attendant, as a ship's pilot, as an engineer, as a rigger. So there's many pathways that one can take. And one of the things that I believe has given me so much satisfaction is the amount of sailors who have gone into the yachting industry in whatever capacity that they have a career out of it. It's something that has fueled the enthusiasm of more people to probably learn how to sail.
Now, you were recently in London collecting your MBE from Prince Charles. Congratulations on that. That must have been a real thrill.
It was a very special occasion. It dawned on me after the celebration when I did some of the research. I was the second Antiguan sportsman to receive Queen honours, and the other is Sir Viv Richards, who received an MBE in 1994. So to receive that honour was quite an amazing experience, just showing up at Windsor Castle and the whole prestige of it. Up to now, I'm still basking in that whole experience. And I've seen some really cool places around the world, you know, but Windsor Castle was a very special experience for me.
And of course, it just shines a spotlight on the work you've done with sailing in Antigua and also on sailing in Antigua itself.
It has, you know, and I have to thank the students who have made me look like I have done something cool.
Now, obviously, you still go out sailing, yeah?
I'm still quite involved, you know. I was even thinking about doing a Laser Master World Championships in Mexico in June. So I'm still doing the big boat stuff. I just finished the Antigua Classic Yacht Regatta, and I'll be doing Antigua Sailing Week in 2 weeks' time.
Do you still get out on the lasers?
Yes, I do. Ever so often, I will get in the way of the kids. One of the things I keep reminding them, I'm teaching them, is not what I've read or heard about, is what I practice, you know. Very often, they think they have arrived, and I'll just get out there and get in their way. It gives me a good opportunity just to show them, you know, that I know what I'm talking about.
So who should we keep our eye out for on the lasers in Antigua?
We just had our national championships, and we had Daniel Smith, Rowan Kirby, and Jules Mitchell were the top 3 sailors. And the other guys will be a part of the SSL Gold Cup team representing Antigua in Switzerland. Those 3 guys there have the potential that if they put a solid campaign in for the next 2 years, they probably can end up in Paris. But also we have the likes of Tiger Tyson, who is a kite surfer, and he has been making wave in the kite surf and scene. And then our Olympic female representative, Jellies Gordon, is now starting back training.
So what do you love about sailing in Antigua?
At 7 o'clock, there's some breeze, but the time it hit 8 o'clock, the trade wind comes in and it stays in all day. The water is warm, the conditions are very little current, you can have big waves, and that dynamic allows one to have to make a lot of changes. It makes it for fun sailing. You just don't have to wait around for too long. You don't have to wait for the breeze to come in. On the lightest of day, you will definitely have some sort of sailing happening. So it's an amazing place to sail. And, you know, the organization of the events that we have put on here, the Caribbean 600, which is, I think, is in its 11th year, has become one of the premier offshore races in the world, you know. It rivals the Sydney Hobart and the Fastnet and the Middle Sea Race. And we are attracting all the Grand Prix boats here. So it speaks highly of what or why people want to come to Antigua.
Now, finally, where's the one spot you think every visitor to Antigua should go sailing?
English Harbour, Falmouth Harbour area, the south coast of Antigua. On the south coast of Antigua, we can go from extremely big seas, you know, 2 meters or plus, to, you know, flat waters and still have good winds. So that makes it for a good change in terms of conditions and fun sailing.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Time to go sailing off into the sunset, I suppose. A big thank you to all my guests, Rana Jamila Lewis from Sailing Week, Devin Joseph from the Antigua Yacht Club Marina and Resort, Sarah Sebastian from Nicholson's Yacht Charters and Services, Pia Baptist from Tropical Adventures, Jemsey from the National Sailing Academy, Fabio Giorgi from the Inn on English Harbour, Lyndon Pamphiel from the Model Boat Racing Community, and Carl James, MBE, President of the Antigua and Barbuda Sailing Association. Don't forget to check the episode notes for links to all their enterprises. Our next episode is about food, a subject dear to all our hearts. Join me for a walking tour of St. John's foodie hotspots, a casual seafood feast at Papa Zook's, and a chat with the hottest vegan chef on Antigua. See you then.
The Beach Is Just the Beginning is produced and presented by Peter Moore for the Antigua and Barbuda Tourism Authority. For more information and inspiration about visiting Antigua and Barbuda, drop by visitantiguabarbuda.com.